Thank you, Bob. Good afternoon, brethren. Nice sunny day, it's a difference. We're going to expect some colder weather the next few days, though, so just grin and bear it, I guess. Well, today I would like to present the last in this series of Be Ye Perfect messages that I've been bringing to you. In Matthew 5, Jesus Christ put forth to his disciples what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. You're all familiar with that. In verse 48, it is recorded, and I'll quote, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And we covered a few subjects on the study of this idea of being perfect that would help us to realize that that's a goal in our lives. It certainly should be. The goal is to be perfect. And that's not an easy trip through life on a day-to-day basis. I'm sure you understand that because we all have our troubles. But there are episodes in our life that sometimes are hard to deal with. And those are good. Those are tests for us. But we can direct our individual paths through life in pursuit of perfection and try as best we can to overcome adversity. And, of course, we do expect and need God's help in that. If we seriously seek to achieve that goal, we will receive the blessings as we progress. And I hope that we have been able to realize that in the past, the messages that I gave it in the past. And I hope that's what we're doing here, is realizing progress and being blessed. So let's take a look at a few scriptures this afternoon that will help us. I mentioned Matthew 5, so we'll look at Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, you don't have to turn there. You're familiar with it. But it includes a number of ways that we need to be perfect or at least attempt to be perfect. After teaching the multitudes from Galilee, Decapolis, Judea, Jerusalem, and beyond Jordan, in their synagogues, Jesus got away from the multitudes, and he went up into a mountain. And he sat down with his disciples, and he taught them. Jesus says in verse 48 of chapter 5, he says, "Therefore," this is the last part of chapter 5, "therefore," which means by virtue of the foregoing, "be ye perfect." Well, today I'd like to concentrate on one aspect that we need to realize regarding this scripture, and that is this, the phrase, "even as your Father is perfect." That's the goal, not to just be plain old perfect. But as your Father is perfect, well, I think you realize that we're not going to reach this in our human being state, but we will get there. But this is what we have to try to achieve. But that's a goal. And we need to understand to whom Jesus, in this particular case, is speaking. In chapter 4, Jesus went all about Galilee, preaching great multitudes. And in chapter 5, and also in Mark 3, you might want to make a note of that, Jesus was wanting to get away from the multitudes. He had just gotten through with all those folks. Lots of people wanted to hear what he had to say. And he called his disciples and he taught them. So let's look. Yeah, we're going to have to look at Matthew 5. I'm sorry. Look at Matthew 5. And we'll look at verses 3 to 10. We won't read them, but if you'll notice in verses 3 to 10, he talks about theirs and they and them. And I think he's referring back to the multitudes that all those people he talked with and those that had thronged him earlier in their synagogues. And if we look at verses 11 through 48, it is mainly directed to you, or ye, or your, and that refers to the 12 disciples who are with them. So this Sermon on the Mount is really was directed to the chosen 12. And he taught them many, many things. And as I say, you're familiar with it. And we have to go into chapter 5 as well. But in chapter, he taught them many things straight from him, you know, from him to his disciples. We all wish we could have been there, but it must have been a very good thing. And he ended chapter 5 with verse 48, where he said, "Be perfect," and that was where that verse ended. But the following two chapters, chapter 6 and 7, complete additional teachings of all the doctrines that he was teaching his disciples. What we need to do is look at a few of God's character traits, the Father's character traits, and try to emulate his characteristics in our own actions, in our own lives, and to reflect that phrase, "as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So that would define the kind of perfection that we need to realize in our lives. That's what we're striving for. And here's a for instance. I'll ask you to turn over to Matthew 6 and in verse 12, Matthew 6. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So we're going to talk about forgiving. And in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So this is what we want to talk about here first, is forgiveness. So shouldn't we consider it this way? Should we try to be as forgiving as our Father is forgiving? I say yes, we should certainly try to do that, to be as perfect as our Father is perfect relative to forgiving. When we ask our Father to forgive us of our misdeeds or our sins, shouldn't we realize that he knows to whom he is responding when we ask him something? Doesn't he know us? He really knows. Our Father knows who his adopted children are. When someone asks us to forgive them for some action or comment they make toward us, we shouldn't be like a self-absorbed being or a loner that has a little interest in our brethren. I think we need to give of ourselves to our brothers in the church. As our Father gives to those he knows, okay, we should know those with whom we communicate, with whom we relate, specifically, as I noted, our brethren. In our lifestyles, we should try to be like our Father, so that our state of perfection can approach our Father's perfection, to emulate our Father. I think you understand what I'm saying here is. We know that it's a goal that we would really like to achieve, and we should try to practice as we go from day to day. In the book of Romans 14, chapter 14 and chapter 15, Paul writes about our relationship with our brethren. I'm not going to read those, but you can read those later today or sometime during the week. And Paul tells us to consider our behavior with others, and he gives us some examples how we should relate. Let's take a look at a couple. Romans 14. Let's see what Paul said about relating to others. And we'll start at verse 1. Romans 14, verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith," or you could look at it, "him that is new in the faith, receive, but not to doubtful disputations." Don't judge his beliefs, because if he's new to the faith, he doesn't really know the truth. Verse 2, "For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats vegetables. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not." It doesn't mean that one eats something and another doesn't eat anything, but it means the things that they eat. That's what he's referring to. "And let not him which eats not judge him that eats not." God hath received him. And we'll go down to verse 5. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards a day, he regards it unto the Lord. And he that does not regard the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he does not eat, and he still gives God thanks. Now, we're not going to talk about eating eating herbs or whatever, or the day, judging a day better than or different than another day. But what we need to do is to think things through when we are dealing with our brethren. We need to think and consider introspectively, that is how we think about whatever the subject is, how we should see inside ourselves. And we should also see circumspectly, that is looking around us, seeing others, and consider their ways of seeing the same things that we're, you know, referring to. I hope I'm not leaving you here somewhere, but what I'm saying is that we need to make sure that we consider their thoughts, and we'll go from there. Let's go down to verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And certainly that is a very good conclusion to these questions that we may be talking about with people. When our Father God called us individually out of this evil world, he wanted us to change our ways, our lifestyles, and our values. I don't think anybody would have any argument with that. He expected us to change, not to continue in the same old day-to-day habits that we had before we were called. And I think that all of you here have done that. You've tried to make the necessary changes. And that's why we come here from week to week, so that we understand more and more the scriptures and we'll be able to make those necessary changes. But we need to raise the bar. There are more changes needed. And that's for me, and it's probably for you. I'm sure it's for everyone here, that we all need to continue to make more changes. We need to be more sympathetic and more in tune with our brethren's needs. The only way we can do that is to get to know people. In Luke 6, and let's go to Luke 6. We see just a bit of the Beatitudes that Luke writes about. And we'll look at verse 36. And I want to read a couple of verses there. In Luke 6, verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Different levels, of course. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet or give to all, it will be measured to you again. So what we need to do is we need to be prudent. We need to be discreet in the giving of ourselves and of our substance. And it reflects on knowing our brethren, because we have to know our brethren when we think about these things. It's good to help others who do not have. It certainly is. We need to be wise about it, however. I remember a couple of years ago, actually it was more than a couple of years ago, there was a husband and wife couple that were always needy. And the people in the church gave willingly. But it came to the point where this couple actually depended on all these gifts. And they wouldn't take care of themselves, they wouldn't provide for all their needs. And they expected the church to provide. And that that became worse and worse, and they became more destitute and more impoverished. And this is a case where, you know, it's kind of a thing that we have to consider. Maybe we should not have been giving all these things to these folks. Maybe they should have been learning something, but that's the way things go sometimes. James 3:17, write it down. You don't have to go there. James 3:17. When we give of ourselves, we don't lose. We always win. God gives, and he owns everything. Psalm 24:1-2, and you'll find it other words. You can write that down. Psalm 24:1-2. But he gives willingly. God can create more of what he gives if he needs more. We also know that Jesus Christ emptied himself. He gave everything. He had everything, and he gave everything. He gave all. He gave his life. Another thing, we need to be sympathetic and compassionate. We need to get to know people. We need to be willing to give ourselves and our substance. How about this? Insignificant little things. A couple of hours to sit with old folks once in a while. Try it. You might enjoy it. I hope you now have a little better understanding of being perfect. We could cover a lot more, but this is my last message on being perfect. I hope you're really making some progress. I believe I am. But in conclusion, in Galatians 5:22-23, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and you're familiar with that: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The Spirit here in this scripture is God's Spirit. And these things that are mentioned here are the characteristic traits of the Father, our Father. And we should have these traits. After all, we have his Spirit, so we certainly should have his traits. But in our Father, these traits, we know, are perfect. And that's what we have to aim for. So maybe sometimes during this week, you may find time to examine yourself regarding these character traits in Galatians 5 in your own life. They are the fruit of the Spirit of God in us. See if you can raise the bar in these elements in your efforts to be perfect.